greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. It's been going strong for over 44 years now. Anyway, if you want to reach me via email, that would be for mailbag questions or technet puzzles or what have you. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Also, if you want to reach Paul and ask him to take a look at a space or NASA-related story, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We always set up a link page. I cut and paste interesting articles throughout the week and publish it at the beginning of the weekend and keep it live for the foreseeable future. So if you want to read some interesting articles, you get onto my link page by just typing into the browser roy.ac2gs.com. We have a chat room available. Sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's noisy. You can get there by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com. We offer an audio stream on the internet. If you don't have access to a radio, you type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you the audio stream on the internet. And I always like to remind people that Mike KC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. Has archives of the Limark Technical Net to go as far back as September of 2006. So that's for the links. Let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned for tonight. Okay. We're basic standard operating technical net. We don't have any guest speakers. I do have a couple of things to talk about as far as artificial intelligence is concerned, but it shouldn't take very long. And then we'll go to the main portion of the technical net. I will ask for questions, comments, or topics for discussion. I'll ask people to try and make it about amateur radio questions at first, but we'll open it up to science and technology as we always do. I'll ask people to hit that push to talk, give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or not. We'll make a list, we'll go through it, and hopefully that should take us approximately to 10:15 when Paul WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. It should take us approximately to 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan. If the laws of physics continue to work the way they're supposed to, I have no problems in my shack and no problems at the repeater site, and I don't get kicked off of All-Star too many times. Usually it's two. So that's the plan for tonight. Let me drop for a second, and I'll be back and have my 2 cents worth to say about AI. Okay. Not that much going on in artificial intelligence. ChatGPT mentioned that they're working on something that they're going to be calling ChatGPT 6.0 or 6. But they say that, you know, the rumor is that it won't really be out for another 6 months, so a little early to announce something incremental that you kind of take as a given. It was a little problem in that it was reported recently that OpenAI has lost $12 billion over the last quarter, the last 3 months, which is not great. And also, apparently, there was a Yahoo Finance meeting, I think it was a Friday, where the chief financial officer mentioned the possible need for a government bailout, which scared everyone. And, of course, OpenAI came back and said, you misunderstood what we were trying to say. So it's problematic times, unfortunately, for OpenAI right now, apparently. They're losing money. But, you know, most of the AI companies are losing money for the time being. The idea, like Amazon, is eventually to catch up, drop the losses, and make big enormous profits. So that's my little story on artificial intelligence. If anyone has any comments, please hit that push to talk. Anyone out there?
QPL supporting.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check. I didn't really hear any output from the repeater, so you always wonder about these things. Anyway, that's my little spiel on artificial intelligence. I guess we will get to the main segment. If you have any questions or comments or topics for discussion tonight, hit the push to talk. Give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or not. Well, we'll try one more time. This is AC2GS with the Limark Technical Mech. If anyone has any questions or comments or topics for discussion, please hit that push to talk and give me your first name, your call sign, and whether it's amateur radio related or science and technology in general.
November 2, Zulu, Charlie John, ham radio.
AC2PL, ham radio.
Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf.
Okay, John and Jeff recognized. Anyone else want to put your name on the list? And good evening, Sam. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy.
Okay, hopefully later on there'll be more people with more questions or comments. John, what do you got for us tonight?
Good evening, Matt. Forgive me a little, few minutes late to the show here. I was going to follow up on our my last question there in regards of an antenna being sometimes referred to as a matching device to the atmosphere. And my question last week that you addressed this was, I see mentioned in some books about a free space impedance. And, you know, I wasn't sure what exactly they were talking about. I never seen it before. And I from your answer, I don't think you did either. I did a little more research on it. And, just see here, excuse me. Okay. This is from the Electrical Engineering Department of a college. It seems to be the same question, basically, that I had. Let me just read to you real quickly what they put, and let me just drop and read to you. Okay, what it says here. In order to effectively deliver power to a different part of a circuit without reflection, the impedances of all circuit elements need to be matched. Free space can be regarded as a further element, since a transmitting antenna eventually should radiate all power from the transmission line into it. Now, if the impedance in the transmission line and the antenna are matched at 50 ohms, but the impedance of free space is 377 ohms, won't there be an impedance mismatch and consequently a less than optimal radiation from the antenna? And it says here, as far as I gather from the literature and discussion online, the antenna acts as an impedance transformer between the feed line and free space. The argument goes no power from the feed line is reflected and must go to the antenna. The antenna can be assumed to be a resonant, it can The antenna can be assumed to be resonant and therefore radiates all its power to free space, disregarding heat loss. This means that there is no reflective power between the antenna and free space, and the transition between antenna and free space is their match. And then it goes on about how the reverse is true with receiving. What I further gathered is that this impedance is brought up several different times by several different sources of 377 ohms. Now, have you heard anything about this? Because I got, and before, you know, I'd never get a chance to get back in because I'm on the Echo Link. If you could just get back to me, because I just have another follow-up which is interesting on it.
Yeah, I understand that the way that they seem to phrase it is the wave impedance of free space is approximately 377 ohms. And I don't exactly know how to kind of deal with a concept of a wave impedance as opposed to just an impedance. I also can't figure out how an antenna can have an inherent impedance of 50 ohms for the antenna feed point of the transmission line, and yet apparently also simultaneously having a impedance of 377 ohms. So I'm a little bit confused about that. I really probably need to kind of look up more what a wave impedance means. Is it the same just as our regular impedance that we know and love, or is it a somewhat different aspect of an antenna?
Yeah, I mean, we're going deep, and it doesn't probably come into any of the practical aspects, but, you know, I love going deep, and one thing about antenna theory, nobody has really solved it. We know what works, we know what doesn't work, you know, et cetera. Let me read you this, because I find this pretty interesting, and what I'm starting to think of is to view the antenna as a matching transformer in this light. It's a matching transformer where impedance on one end may be 50 ohms, and it matches it to 377 ohms. I just want to read you something further. I thought this was very, very insightful. Yes, there is an impedance mismatch at the point where the antenna connected to free space, but that is the antenna function. The antenna is designed to act as an impedance transformer matching that 50 ohms of the transmission line to the 377 ohm characteristic impedance of free space. The mismatch does not cause signal loss between the transmission line and the antenna because they are matched 50 to 50. Antenna function and antenna input impedance is the value of the feed point which is the transmission line connects to. The antenna geometry is designed to efficiently radiate power into free space, which is characteristic impedance of 377 ohms. This means the antenna acts as a transformer, converting the 50 ohm impedance into a transmission line 377 ohm impedance of the surrounding medium. What I also found interesting, and again, forgive me, I wanted to get this prepared before I came online, and usually it's a wait, so that's on me. But what I did find in the research is this free space impedance is different from an antenna impedance or a feed line impedance, and the fact that this impedance is measured as E over H. So it's the electromagnetic wave over the electric wave, and that's where they get the this resistance from. So I just wanted to follow up on it because I just find it fascinating. You know, I mean, I've been in this hobby for over 30 years. This is the first time I've ever seen anything like it. ACQBS, November 2, Zulu Charlie, back to Ned.
Okay, very good, John. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I have mentioned before that if you get yourself a graduate-level textbook on antenna theory, you'll no doubt get a nosebleed. I did. A lot of matrix math, a lot of very theoretical, esoteric conversations going on in it. But, see, I think that's the problem, is that, unfortunately, nomenclature In the case of the antenna input, impedance is reactance and resistance. Relatively simple, and yet when they're talking about the so-called wave impedance of free space, they're talking about the ratio of the electric field strength to the magnetic field strength, and it has to do with the permeability of free space. So I get the sense that that unfortunately they're using the same word for two different things. I mean, I can understand theoretically that a different type of impedance matches the free space impedance, and having both equaling the same impedance, you get the maximum energy transfer that you always want, and if it's a mismatch, it's reflected. But I'm not quite sure what the real-world case is. When do you have an antenna that seems resonant, has a 50-ohm impedance to the transmission line, and yet is reflecting back and not radiating anything? So I'm a little confused by that. I have to kind of look, dig deeper and figure out whether a free wave impedance is the same type of value. As you mentioned, they use different descriptors. You know, one is reactance and resistance, and the other is the ratio of electric and magnetic field strength. So it's interesting. It's very esoteric. It doesn't really translate to our hobby, fortunately. But, you know, maybe aspects of resonating an antenna are tuning it to that wave impedance. But I have to kind of look deeper, hopefully without a nosebleed.
K2FIU?
It's a very abstract subject, to say the least. What I'm walking away with, and again, it's just a gut feeling, seems to be that you have this free space impedance, and whatever your feed line is, 50 ohms, let's just say, or 75, but let's say 50. And if we look at the antenna itself as a matching transformer, at that point on the antenna, feeds into the 50 ohms to be able to translate into this 377. So, all of these little insights, like any mystery, one day can give you that aha moment, as they say. So, hams have discovered a lot of stuff through the years, just passing on some information. I find it fascinating, maybe not practical, but fascinating. And again, sometimes a different viewpoint can make you understand everything a little bit better. Back to
Ned. Yeah, I agree with you, John. George, you wanted to say something?
Hello, Roy. I hope you're well. Thank you. And the impedance over the transmission line has nothing to do with it. Of course, we know it has to do with your equipment to the radiating device. The radiating device will be approaching or delivering through 377 ohms in lower atmospheric resistance, lower atmospheric resistance. The antenna itself is a conductor, very simply put. And how you design conductor is going to allow you to transfer whatever energy at whatever impedance you want to go into the atmosphere. Thank you, Roy.
Okay, very good, George. I wouldn't call it the resistance of free space. It's really impedance. It's a complex of reactance and resistance.
Absolutely. I did mean impedance, not resistance.
Comment?
Yeah, please, comment.
This is Jeff, ACTPL. Maybe I'm missing something, but at resonance, our reactances cancel and we just have resistance, or am I missing part of the equation?
Well, that's for the antenna. I'm not quite sure whether that's the impedance of free space is pure resistance or not. Judging from bits and pieces that I'm Googling together, they consistently say it's an impedance. Impedances could also have zero reactance and appear purely resistive. So that's a possibility, but they keep calling it impedance of free space.
KD2FIU?
Yes, George?
Roy, let's just say simply, we need a conductor to do the electronic to RF transfer. And how we do it with all of the equipment that we have in place, we need a conductor.
Yeah, okay. We all agree with that, George. The big question I have offhand, that probably if I scratch the surface, I'll figure it out. They say that the impedance of free space is 377 ohms. It's been repeated here. The problem with that is that's a vector sum. That's not a vector sum. That's a scalar sum. And impedance is a vector quantity. So it's both a resistance and a phase angle. And it would be kind of interesting to know if the phase angle of the impedance in free space is zero, and so it's effectively purely a resistive impedance. So I don't know, because unfortunately most of the sources, all the sources I've so far wandered through give a scalar result of 377 ohms, which doesn't really answer that question.
November 2, Zulu Charlie.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I think part of, because initially, you know, this whole concept throws everyone back, including myself. I came to the net. And as you kick it around more, you know, through the years, Roy, you being the host, we kind of know you better than we know each other as far as people on the net. And I know one of your key interests has always been the near field. I noticed when that subject ever came up, you said that you and Dick were talking about the near field, and there was a thing about it that you didn't understand, that, you know, couldn't get rationalized with it. But I think this is what it plays into, and it kind of makes sense that, you know, with a power line, you know, you have a near field and you have, as we know, with the antenna, the far field. So the near field, you know, is creating, it seems, some sort of a barrier to being released, and there seems to be some sort of match with it. You know, again, a very complex subject. But they are using near field in that equation. Again, it's an impedance unlike any other. It's a magnetic impedance of E over H and H over E. And so, you know, very, oh no, wait, I got it right the first time, right? It says E over I, so it's E over H. And so they are using the near field in there, right? So I guess that's the component. And then kind of would think, all right, yeah, you know, if you have a near field, and generating just like with a coil, when you put something through it, you know, because of the geometry of it, you know, and it induces fields, and even a straight line, we know a power line induces the field. So, you know, I think these are the forces coming into play.
Well, John, you may be perfectly right. When you know antennas radiate, you almost by definition in the near field. It's only past about a wavelength away or more that the weird nature of quadrature phase electro and magnetic waves settle down into being in phase with each other, which confuses the hell out of me still. Let me read. I pushed it into Google's AI, the question, and it is the most confusing self-contradicting response that I've read lately from AI. So let me read it. I asked, is impedance in free space pure resistance? So it says, no. While the impedance of free space is a purely real value, approximately 377 ohms, it is not the same as pure resistance. Impedance, Z, is a more general term that includes a real part, resistance R, and an imaginary part, reactance X. The impedance of free space has no reactive component, so it can be described as purely resistive, but this is because it relates the electric and magnetic fields of an electromagnetic wave, not because of the presence of physical resistive materials. So it is, but it isn't, but it's something different than what we usually talk about when we say impedance. So if that ain't confusing, I don't know what is.
Yeah, Roy, when you're going through all of this and you're getting giddy and it's driving you nuts, just remember, no need to thank me.
Well, John, I always appreciate people who kind of bring up weird things that my brain has to try at least to wrap around. Again, it sounds almost like how we started this conversation a couple of minutes ago, that I think when they talk about the free space impedance, unfortunately, although it's in the same measurements of ohms, it seems to be a kind of intellectual exercise in defining something similar but not identical to the impedance that we usually talk about on the other side of the antenna. So I guess for the most part, we'll leave it to the electrical engineers to ponder and get their nosebleeds and, go back to our VNAs and such and deal with the impedance on the antenna feed that we can do something about. But I thank you very much, John, because I'm always looking for things that confuse me. I found near field, and I think this is just some aspect adjacent to the near field. So I think it's still the near field that's confusing the heck out of me.
BZ.
Yes, BZ recognized, but Jeff first, and then BZ.
Thanks, Roy. Well, first of all, it's vector. Let's assume that for a moment that there's two vectors, the magnetic and the electric, and now you're dividing them. I know what to do with vectors when you add them. What do we do with? I've forgotten entirely my math. What do you do with them when you divide them? What's the result of the real and the imaginary? If those are in fact vector quantities that you're dividing out.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I took vector math. There's cross products, but I think that's if you multiply them. Maybe it's the dot product?
I don't know. I mean, it could be the cross product of the ratio of one of them.
Yeah, possible. But even though apparently, at least the AI seems to indicate that it's not necessarily the same type of a vector as normal impedance. The complicating thing is most of us, when we talk impedance, don't really talk about the vector. We always...
Knock you off the air.
He'll be back in a minute.
I'm sorry. Okay, let me try again. Great success. I got kicked off of All Star again. So I don't know. I mean, it might be, it might not be. I tend to think that what might be going on is that the free space impedance is a similar characteristic, but not identical, much like quantum spin is not actually identical to mechanical spin. I don't know. I got to go further into it, possibly with a couple of cotton balls, just in case my nose bleeds. Jeff, are you out there?
Hey, C2PL. Yeah. Yeah, I was afraid to say anything. My comment would be that, unfortunately, my comment would take us down another rabbit hole in which mag-loop antennas are interacting with the magnetic field and what's the impedance interaction there, but let's not do that.
Yeah, I think we should hold that all up until the graduate level of the technical net.
Absolutely agreed. Easy to feel back to that.
Okay. Rich, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wonder if you put that same question through ChatGPT and compare the answers, would it be more clear? Could you do that? It'd only take a minute to put it through ChatGPT. I have a question on, I had to redo my mag loop. I totally pulled it apart and put it back together with all new materials, and I have a couple of questions about that.
Okay. I don't know. Right now someone seems to be testing out their electronic device. I see a lot of noise on the repeater thing. Give me a little bit of time to kind of set up ChatGPT. I don't really expect much difference between that and Google's Gemini, but I'll give it a try.
All right. Can I go into my Mac loop questions now?
Well, let me first ask John, are we done with your question for tonight, or is there any other comment you want to make before we move on?
Yeah, Roy, thank you. Thank you for, knowing the situation of us guys on Echo 8. No, that's it, Roy. That's it. We've exhausted everything I know on the subject, and... if I do come up with anything I think is interesting, I'll pop in next week with it. But, interested in also hearing if anybody else digs deeper and finds anything. November 2 is Zulu Charlie.
Okay, very good. Well, ChatGPT seems to disagree with Gemini. Although Gemini was kind of, no it isn't, yes it is. ChatGPT decided to cut to the chase and of course, compliment you or me or whoever. Good question, it says. And the short answer is yes, the impedance of free space is purely resistive. It has no reactive component. And then it goes into some kind of detail of it being a ratio and such. So, I guess it's cutting short and rather than going through the strange kind of trip that Gemini seems to, where it says no and then yes. ChatGPT just said basically yes. And, there's a little bit of math that and the story of the nature of impedance and other kind of things.
Does ChatGPT's answer make sense to you, Brian?
Comments.
Well, one second, Wes. It's difficult. It just said yes. Well, that doesn't really explain anything, but the mathematics involved requires a little bit more than 30 seconds while I'm trying to maintain a net. So tonight or tomorrow, I'll go over it and see without getting too much of a nosebleed if I have a problem with its mathematical explanation. So, Rich, Jeff is before you on the list for tonight, so I'll put you in after Jeff asks his question or makes his comment. Wes, what do you want to say?
KF2CC.
Brian recognized, but Wes wanted to say something. I think he's on echo link.
Okay. I have a problem with that statement from ChatGPT and whatsoever. You talk about the medium. Free space is usually considered, the impedance of free space is usually considered the impedance of vacuum. But there is not much difference for calculation between the vacuum and air. However, air contains particles, a mass, and could be treated as a medium. It's a medium. So we're saying that our propagation of electromagnetic wave in glass or in dielectric, any dielectric, is X. It differentiates with air and possibly with space, although not much. So by that, we may say that a medium could be partially conductive, could have its own specific regional conditions like humidity, like cloud or whatsoever. And talking about lack of reactance is for me hard to accept. Back to you.
Okay, Wes. Well, you know, as far as the ChatGPT is concerned with the answer, it's going along with everyone else in that impedance is not what we usually think of impedance, but is the square root of the permeability of free space divided by the permeability of permeability and permittivity. The permeability of free space divided by the permittivity of free space, the square root of that. Also, it's taking as free space kind of outer space. There's no real perfect vacuum, even in outer space, but it's a non-theoretical approximation to a perfect vacuum of and also free space. So, even in the spaces between the moon and the Earth, There's atoms, there's gas molecules, there's photons, there's, of course, quantum fields. There's no such thing as true empty space within space-time. It always has something going on. But these are approximations, I think, to the idea of a perfect vacuum rather than the reality. So I think that's what they're talking about when they mention permittivity and permeability of free space.
Okay, in addition to that, phase in free space is zero, and phase in air is considered to be zero. But as long as we have some conductivity, then we're dealing with element of impedance, which is the reactive element of impedance, and that would be capacitive or inductive. So I'm trying to be delicate in words, but it's not the chart, whatever the chart is, it's just telling something strange. Back to you.
Okay, well, the AI is kind of either equivocate or they say, yeah, it's resistive purely, push comes to shove. So again, I don't quite still believe that we're dealing with the same thing when we talk about the input impedance of an antenna feed point? Is that is defined by a different way and is a different value depending upon the design of the antenna? Although I'm sure guys out there could kind of say, well, that's the design of the antenna, and when it becomes resonant is when it's transforming the antenna input impedance from you know, 50 ohms of a coaxial cable, or, you know, there are other resonant impedances for different antenna designs to a kind of matching impedance for the near field for free space. But again, it gets rather esoteric, and it's really nice to have theoretical conversations, but no one's ever going to kind of point at your antenna and say, I think your free space impedance of your antenna is slightly off 377 ohms. So I don't think we ever have a risk of that coming up in most hams conversations, unless, you know, they got a little engineering degree and they want to show off.
Okay. Thank you for that. As far as interaction, as far as the 50 ohm impedance, that's the impedance between the transmitter, feeder, and the antenna being in given medium. And the medium is dielectric, air is dielectric. And you have a perfect match, that's fine. But that only, those are only the three elements. The air is not important. It could be a total vacuum. The only difference is that the property of dielectric are different. Back to you.
Okay, so I'm not quite sure what you're getting at with that. It demonstrates the usual thing that we know of as an impedance for, say, a center-fed half-wave line, you know, within 100 yards of the Earth is approximately 50 ohms. But, you know, somehow there's something else that's called free space impedance on the other end of the antenna that may be transformed to 377 ohms so that it can give off the energy in a lossless, non-reflecting way into space. You know, it's not true space, it's not theoretical space, but, you know, even outer space is not, as I said, a absolute vacuum. There's no such thing as an absolute vacuum, unfortunately, in the fabric of space-time. There's always something there.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Roy. Enjoy your show.
You're welcome, Wes. Brian, do you want to be put on the list?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Roy. Yeah, sure. I'll be put on the list. That would be nice. Thank you.
Okay. Well, next on our list is Jeff. What do you got for us tonight, Jeff?
Yeah, hi, Roy. Thank you. And I'm sorry, just as one quick follow-up to what we were just talking about, and I might be off base, but if the impedance of space or whatever the transmitting medium is that we happen to be going into is purely resistive, that makes sense to me in one way, in that there is no frequency dependence of it. It always accepts the RF that we put out of our antennas, QSL.
Okay, that's a good point. You know, it's an absolute number, so that makes sense. I'm a little confused, by the way, Gemini decided to answer it. It seemed that it fit it both ways, that makes sense to me. That part certainly does.
Question.
Yes, Wesley?
In regards to the statement just heard, we have propagation of electromagnetic wave in water. Does that differentiate between air and vacuum? So tell me that it's purely resistive. It's just hard to be accepted. Right? Because you're disregarding the medium. And each medium has its own properties. Air is not free space. I mean, air is seen as a free space for calculation. But air is different than vacuum. And water is different than air. So trying to meet the properties and making the statement that it's purely resistive is kind of hard to accept. But to you.
Okay. I think they're taking the concept of free space as a theoretical construct. The characteristics of air on the planet are not that far away from space, outer space. So it's an approximation to a theoretical value, and makes sense under those circumstances. Once you dunk everything in the water, it's no longer a close approximation to a true vacuum. It's a dielectric made out of water and whatever is dissolved in the water. So I don't think you can equate the two media.
Well, so is the weather in Florida, the most congested with lightnings and ionization of air, and the humidity and changes that makes that part of the medium acting differently, right or wrong?
Yeah, but now you're talking about extreme, definitions that don't really get us anywhere. Unfortunately, the original equations and such are for true vacuums. And once you introduce matter into the equation, it drifts off and gets much more complicated. And so for the sake of understanding the underlying concepts, they theoretically place the antenna in outer space and call it free space, and it's an approximation, as I said before. If you start to put the thing in the, on the ground next to the ocean for spray and for rain, you're complicating things, and the equation's eloquence kind of disappears in a puff of smoke. So, unfortunately, although the world is not theoretical, sometimes for educational purposes and for theory, you start with a pristine, theoretical, simplified version of reality and go from there.
Yeah, I would agree with that into AXIOM. I would agree with that if not the fact that we are transmitting our electromagnetic waves in not a really uniform space. And because the approximation of the free space in a vacuum is being seen as close to the air, I'm saying that air is not uniform. Back to you.
No, it's not uniform, but it's close enough, and in practical terms, the same antenna that's able to transform impedances to 377 ohms in free space and outer space, work on your roof. So you can still use the underlying principle. But beyond that, I mean, again, most hams are not going to have a heavy-duty conversation about matching the free space impedance for their antenna. They're just going to get it resonant and make sure that the antenna feed point is acceptable for the transmission line. So, it takes a somewhat esoteric concept and kind of makes it even more complicated, which is not terribly good. The idea is hopefully to be able to simplify it to a useful form. So, yes, free space is not the same as your backyard. But it's close enough so that you don't have to get drowned in the details and the ways that it perturbs the system.
If you're trying to omit the fact that today was the rain and the humidity in Queens is different than it was yesterday, and propagation of electromagnetic waves is different, then you may be right, and to exceed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why the definition describes free space and not open air. Free space is far less variable. I mean, on a theoretical construct, it's completely, it's a consistent, constant physical state. In reality, it's not, but in definition, which is what you're basing any kind of theoretical equations on, it's out of space. So when people say the impedance of free space, they kind of infer an environment that isn't complicated by anything but the vacuum of space.
Well, yeah, the same we would say about propagating of electromagnetic wave in glass. Depends what the glass is made from. What is the consistency of the glass? You say it differs. Well, it differs from space. But it's okay. Thank you very much. And to exceed.
Okay, very good. Jeff, what do you got for us?
I'm sorry for bringing it back up. AC2PL, just a probably a naive and perhaps stupid question. I'm working on repairing an amp, replace the transistors and the BIOS circuit as per the schematic, and according to the service manual, you BIOS it up to anywhere between 1.6 amps and 2 amps to keep it in the linear push-pull range for the four pairs of transistors. So I set the BIOS at 13.8 volts on my lab, bench supply, and then attached some heavy lugs to it, and I didn't really have a power supply to clamp it to right easily available. So I clamped it to a battery, which is at 12 volts, and the current that it was drawing was much lower. And just as a kind of naive question, should it be lower? I guess that depends on the BIOS circuitry. And if the BIOS current is lower, is it somehow transiting out of the linear phase for a linear region for those push-pull transistors? QSL.
Okay, that's interesting. My problem is that wouldn't it be important to know the internal resistance of the battery you connected it to? Because wouldn't that have a significant effect on everything?
I don't know. It depends on whether it's a scalar or a vector.
Haha.
Yeah, obviously, just kidding. It's a gel battery that I just happen to have sitting here that runs my radio when the power, if and when the power goes off, I can just switch over to that. So yeah, it's an automotive gel pack battery, and I've never actually even given one iota of a thought to the internal resistance. So.
Okay, but unless I'm missing something, you're running a voltage with a current through the battery, and what determines the current is the total resistance in the circuit, which includes the internal resistance of the battery. So I would assume that the internal resistance that the battery has will significantly affect the current draw. It's not a zero ohm non-inductive load, right? Or am I missing something?
No, of course, you're absolutely right, and I'm again, not only naive, but infantile not to have thought about it. But of course, our power supplies are, the Astrons and the various server power supplies that we modify to use for ham radio. They don't have that same, I'm assuming.
I think your battery went dead or something. You started to get noisier and noisier, and then the audio dropped out.
Sorry, could be the power supply has an internal resistance. Hi. Okay. Yeah, I'm assuming But I guess the question was, what about our other power supplies and the reference to internal resistance? It's not the same as batteries, QSL.
No, it probably isn't. Anyone out there have a great answer for Jeff? I hate to kind of act like it's all a mystery, but if anyone out there is actually able to answer Jeff, please feel free.
What was the question?
You want to say it again, Jeff?
So the original question is biasing an amplifier. So, you know, a transistor amplifier and running it off of two different power sources, I observed two different amp draws. And the absolute question is it going to remain in a linear region if it doesn't have the textbook 13.8 volt, which is written on the schematic, with 1.6 to 2 amps of bias current draw from emitter to collector, as opposed to hooking it up to a battery, which just happens to be sitting here, where it now is pulling, you know, 1.4 amps instead of 1.6. So, yes, that's the question. That's the basic question, but then we got sidetracked into really considering the fundamentals of the battery and if there's internal resistance and if that plays a role. Anyway, if you have something to say about it, go ahead.
This is Brian.
Brian?
Just curious, wouldn't the output basically be pretty much in proportion? How much of a voltage difference are you talking about?
Well, my opinion is immaterial. It's amps are amps. So if you're drawing the same number of amps, actually that's the fundamental question, Roy, is that do you need to draw the same number of amps at one voltage versus the other in order to remain in a linear push-pull configuration for an amplifier? So actually back to Roy for that question.
Okay. I think you would need to, actually. I can't understand how it would work elsewise. If you're doing a different voltage potential, you're on a different portion of the curve, but unfortunately, unless you got the specs for the circuit and the transistor, you're not going to kind of be aware. So I would imagine you would need to have it at an equivalent level. But again, I'd love to hear from, you know, our electrical engineers out there and see if they have any opinions on the subject.
Isn't it a range of voltage? It doesn't have to be 13.8 dead on. It could be 12.5, 11.8 or something like that, and it wouldn't affect the output. Am I wrong on that?
It depends on the... Yes, John, one second. It depends upon the specs for the given piece of equipment. Some have wider ranges where they maintain linearity and some don't. So you have to know, you know, based on the circuitry and the discrete components that you're using, where the linearity ends. John, what do you want to say?
Yeah, coming in a little late, so I don't want to get too... out of whack here, since I haven't heard all the previous comments, but are we talking about just a dumb amplifier or like something that's built into a radio? Because I have some interesting experience to share, you know, with that subject when it comes to a couple different radios that I did some testing on.
WS2N.
Yeah, Paul?
Most modern circuitry has regulators, you know. Like Rich said, you could go 13.8, you could go 12, and maybe it's set at a certain number. You know, it might be, you know, set at 11.5, and it really doesn't care what voltage you're putting into it, as long as it's, you know, high enough to be you know, to meet the regulator requirement, you know. Back to you, Rory, WS.
Okay, I mean, my understanding is that the voltages are different for the different power sources. It's what it sounds like, Jeff. Is that correct or not? And also...